Guys, this is Jax, and you're listening to Good Old Days on Penguin Radio. That's radio.dominican.edu. This is our 9th show, and I have some of my favorite songs lined up for you today. And we'll be starting the show off with some Southern rock, and then moving it over to some traditional country. And then we are going to go back to another Southern rock group. And for today, we'll actually be wrapping up our number 9 show with a modern country song. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm praying that I don't just fall asleep in the next hour because my sleeping cycle has been so not normal. I haven't been sleeping like at all. I don't know if you guys ever have those kind of days where I don't know how to explain it. Like you're sitting in bed and you want to fall asleep, but you just can't. And you just like, I don't even do anything. It's the biggest waste of time. And I feel like I should just get up and go do like homework or something that I have to do, but it's like, oh, but it's 3 a.m. and I don't know how well my mind will be, even though I'm like fully awake and fully aware. So that's what's been happening. So if you guys hear a really extremely loud thump and then like silence and I stop talking, then I'm telling you right now that I passed out and I'm sleeping on the mixer here in the studio because I have been getting, last night I got like maybe 3 hours of sleep, and the night before that it was even worse. So I'm not really doing so well, and I don't like coffee or any, like, I don't really do energy drinks or any of those kinds of things. So whenever I get like this, I'm kind of like, sweet. So I have no choice but to just power through and like use all the energy I have. So if you hear the thump, you know what happened, and I'm just going to start right now. So the chance of that will decrease a little bit. So it is Southern rock time. I'm going to go ahead and play a song from one of my favorite bands, and this probably is one of my favorite songs by them. So here is the Black Crowes with Twice as Hard.
We'll be right back.
So that was Twice as Hard by the Black Crowes. Gotta love that group. I have actually a few favorite songs by them, but this is definitely like the top one, like I said. And then I really like She Talks to Angels and Thorn in My Pride. And those songs are really good too. Those are amazing. It's kind of like those, let's see. Well, I'm talking about, I guess, She Talks to Angels right now, but it sets kind of a different mood. Like Twice as Hard was more of a rock concert, like dancing around and stage diving. What do you call that? It's like mob diving or mosh pit. I don't know the correct term, but you get the idea of where I'm going. But then compared to that, She Talks to Angels is kind of like more of a love song, and it's not like super, super sappy, but it's not over romantic either. And I feel like a lot of the songs that are produced now by like 15 and 16 year olds about love or like that, and it's because they know so much of, you know, that subject at that age, but whatever. And it's so much better than that. I feel like it's a song that you can dance to with like a partner, the slow dance kind of thing, and spinning and twirling. And then Twice as Hard is like the solo dance with just one individual jumping around, like head bopping and rocking out kind of deal. The types of moves that give you major knots in your hair by the end, and that's what happens to me. And right now my hair is definitely on the shorter side. I'm describing it as, I don't know if you guys remember the Starburst commercials. I'm pretty sure they were the Starburst commercials for the berries and cream, where they had the guy who looked like a jester or whatever, like in his pumpkin pants kind of thing, with, he looked like he worked for the king, and he kind of Irish danced around, was like, berries and cream, berries and cream, berries and cream. That is how I look like. I look like the jester man because of my haircut. And then I also think that that image tied in with, this is also, I pretty much look like someone from the medieval, like Renaissance times, but I think that I look like a medieval knight. And I don't know why, it's like the length of my hair. And then the other day, I'm not even kidding you, the other day I'm not Italian, you guys, but a lot of people think I am. And I have a cross necklace that I wear, and for some reason with my hair like down, I looked like from afar, if I was a little bit like buffer and like bigger, I would have looked like a full-on Italian man. I looked like a man, and for some reason it looked Italian because I had the cross thing going on, and then I was like super tan a few days ago. Now it's gone. I lose my tan super quick, but what are you going to do? Anyways, going back to what the hell was I talking about? I actually have to like look through now and see like, what did I leave off of? Oh yeah. Okay. So Twice as Hard, after I listen to that song, I still end up, even with short hair, I still end up with these major dreadlocks by the end of it. And that's the type of dancing that I feel like if you did with a partner, it might lead to some kind of injury or concussion. So can't really dance around like that to Twice as Hard, but that's why we have She Talks to Angels. And that song, the She Talks to Angels song, came from Shake Your Money Maker. It was an album from 1990, and I consider it to be one of the songs that are recognized right away as a Black Crowes song. And like I said, it's such a pretty song, and it concentrates, like the person it's about is a woman who is suffering from an addiction, and the lyrics were written by Chris and Rich Robinson. And Rich actually had the music already written, like, and then he wrote the lyrics later, and he wrote the music when he was 15, and it turned out to be a fantastic and really well-known song, so yay. And then not too long after that, that's when Thorn in My Pride came out on the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion, and that definitely had a soulful sound, and that band has performed it like numerous times, like since the early 90s, so they're very comfortable with it. It's like second nature to them, I feel like, at this point. So they have a lot of different types of songs and, you know, a huge variety of styles, which is awesome because I feel like a band should have that versatility, and they should have some slower songs and then some faster paced songs. That way you could just listen to, you know, a Black Crowes record and go through all the different emotions that each of these songs play off of. And you don't have to be like, oh, well, I'm in a bad mood, I should probably switch to something else. Or like, oh, I'm in a better mood, switch to something else. It's like, no, you could just listen to the same record and get all of that. So I mentioned three of my favorite songs from this group, but I have a lot more that I love, and here's some of them. So there's I Ain't Hidin', which was actually released pretty recently compared to the rest. It was released in 2009, so that's cool. And it was off of their album called Before the Frost, Until the Freeze. And that whole record had a lot of songs that are kind of trippy, if you will. You could call them like psychedelic or whatever. And I Ain't Hidin' had that same sound. And they have a really good bass tune. And that's joined with some crazy good guitar beats and really great lyrics with great vocals. So here's actually a line from that song. I wanted to read this. They opened up with these lyrics. They said, "Rust on my pickups and blood on the stage, seeds in the ashtray and coke on the blade." So even though it was released kind of really recently, it still kind of gives off that old like rock and roll vibe, like when it first started and everything was just crazy and like, yeah, rebel, blah, 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 rock on kind of thing. So I was like, oh, that's cool. And then there's my morning song. Not to get it confused, this is not, I'm not calling it my morning song. The actual title is my morning song. I do listen to it in the morning if it so happens to come up on my phone, but it's not technically my morning song. I just talked in circles. Anyways, their song, My Morning Song, that was off of their 1992 album, The Southern Harmony and Musical Companion, the one that Thorn in My Pride was on, and it had a lot of rock songs and some really deep messages, I think, through their music. And this song brings a lot of like soul, and it really can connect to the listener. I feel like I'll listen to it and of course start jamming out like without even realizing it. Like I'll start doing the really, really cheesy head bob kind of thing where like you're grooving just by yourself and you have no idea. And now about this incredible group, I want to start talking about the Black Crowes a little bit. They have sold more than 35 million albums, and they are recognized for being one of rock's best live performances. And they have been touring for a very, very long time. They tour a lot. And the band originated in Georgia, Marietta in Georgia, and they have been, oops, I just like made out with the microphone a little bit there. All right, anyway, they have been an active group since 1989 with a few breaks here and there. And they kind of had an off and on thing going, and that added up to about a few years in between when they were officially playing and putting out music. And as for the genres, you guys already know that they are considered to be a Southern rock band, but in addition to that, they are also included in the categories of blues rock and hard rock. So they still are keeping it, you know, very involved in the rock section. And like many of the other bands that we have had on the last 8 shows, the Black Crowes have had lots of different members, but now they've established, you know, a pretty concrete lineup for this handful of years. So the guys in this group are Chris Robinson, Rick Robinson, Steve Gorman, Sven Pippian, Adam MacDougall, and a more recent member, that's Jackie Green. I almost forgot about him. I said MacDougall. I was like, okay, let's get started. And then I was like, oh, wait, poor little Jackie Green. Anyways, so Chris does the band's vocals, and he also plays the guitar and the harmonica. Then Rick also does vocals, and he is on the guitar as well. Then we have Steve Gorman. He plays the drums. And Pippian, Sven Pippian. I had to say his full name because it's such a cool one. Like Sven Pippian, Sven Pippian, Sven Pippian. Okay, I'm done for now. It's temporarily out of my system. That reminded me of the part, you know, the part in, what's it called? I think it was Goldmember in Austin Powers where there's the one like assistant. I think it's the guy who was in Boy Meets World who played Corey. I really don't know, but I know he has like this huge mole, and Austin Powers keeps wanting to make like jokes about it. So he keeps just doing the whole like molly, 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 molly. Like I want to chop it off and put it in some guacamole, or like he says these really horrible things. Then he ends up like poking at it with a stick. That reminded me of it. The molly, molly, molly. Sven Pippian, Sven Pippian, Sven Pippian. Anyways, okay. That's my connection. Now I just really want to talk in a British accent for the rest of this whole show, but I'm not going to torture you guys. So anyways, he does Sven Pippian. We're still talking about him. He does some background vocals and he plays the bass guitar. And then we have Adams's instrument, and that is the keyboards, or are the keyboards, I don't know, singular, plural, whatever. It's too early and I don't have all my brain cells working. And then we have the completing member, And that is Jackie Greene. Again, I almost forgot this poor kid's name. Okay. He also does some backup vocals and more guitar. Oh, and by the way, Chris Robinson and Rich Robinson are brothers. And Chris is around 3 years older than Rich. And when they first started playing in the Black Crowes and when they released their very first single, Rich was only 20 and Chris was 23. And now I want to move on to our next country artist. And this guy, I don't really classify him as a traditional singer or like a very mainstream one. He's very kind of in the middle for me. And I want to just explain why. He is still really involved in the music industry and he's released songs pretty recently. It's not like he hasn't been putting out music. And, you know, like in the past few years, so he really can be, I guess, categorized as a modern musician, but then his type of music, like his own personal style, it doesn't always sound like it's from this decade. It sounds kind of older with a lot of honky tonk, and that's what he's actually known for. I'm just going to tell you his name. The next one is Alan Jackson that we're going to be listening to, and he is actually recognized for mixing classic honky tonk with mainstream country, and that's why I kind of consider him like 50-50 because he's a combination of both of those subgenres, and he really became a well-known name kind of in the middle of, you know, when country was making the transition from old into new. So I was like, I don't know what to call him because he mixes both of those subgenres, but I actually really like Jackson's songs and they do sound super traditional. So to me, if anything, if I have to classify him, I'm just going to say he's old country, you know. And you'll see what I'm talking about because here's Alan Jackson's song from his album called Here in the Real World. I'm going to go ahead and play you guys his song called Blue Blooded Woman.
She loves the violin, I love the fiddle. We go separate ways, but we meet in the middle. Don't see eye to eye, but we're hand in hand. Blue-blooded woman and a redneck man. The lady I love loves silk and satin. She was raised uptown with a silver spoon. But I was born on a farm just south of Jackson. We had an old Ford tractor and a country moon. She loves the violin, I love the fiddle. We go separate ways, but we meet in the middle. Don't see eye to eye, but we're hand in hand. A blue-blooded woman and a redneck man. Fifth Avenue, perfection. Caviar and dignified. Well, I live my life in Walmart fashion. And I like my sushi southern fried. She loves the violin, I love the fiddle. We go separate ways, but we meet in the middle. Don't see eye to eye, but we're hand in hand. Woman and a redneck man. And she loves the violin, I love the fiddle. We go separate ways, but we meet in the middle. Don't see eye to eye, but we're hand in hand. A blue-blooded woman and a redneck man. Oh, she's a blue-blooded woman, I'm a redneck man.
All right, so once again, that was Blue Blooded Woman by Alan Jackson. And I want to quickly talk about the album that this song was on. Here in the Real World, that was the record. And it was produced in 1989, and then it was released in 1990. And Blue Blooded Woman did all right. It didn't suck completely, but it also didn't reach the top 40 on the country charts here in the U.S. So, I mean, you know, it can't always get that top spot, but it did get really close though, which is kind of like, I feel like it almost should count. It's like, yeah, you were aiming for 40, but he ended up actually getting spot like 45 or something. So it's like so close and whatever. To me, that's still like, yeah. But anyways, every song can't always have a lot of success, and you know, other songs got tons of recognition. So I'm thinking specifically about his song called "Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning." Ugh, and that was a song that he hit. I think he won like a Grammy Award for it, and it was on the September 11th attacks on the towers of the World Trade Center. And he did, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. He received a Grammy Award for it. So he did have, you know, plenty of songs that took off like crazy, just like that one. And let's start talking about Alan Jackson. I don't know how much we'll cover, but let's go ahead and find out. Okay, so he was born in Georgia, and he grew up in a rural town in Newman, and he grew up with four older sisters. I would have hated that. I mean, four older brothers, that sounds awesome, but four girls, oh no. No. I'd go crazy. And I'm a girl, and I'd still go crazy with, you know, having four siblings, well, four sisters. So anyways, five kids and their parents lived in a house that was actually built around Jackson's grandfather's old tool shed. And I'm just going to actually fast forward a little bit through his childhood, and we're going to go right into the late 1970s. And he married his high school sweetheart. And then shortly after that, he went to Nashville in hopes of pursuing a career in music, because I think you guys all find the pattern of, you know, having Nashville really be the one town that you go to if you want a career in country music. That's just where you go. So that opportunity, though, it did not come easy for him, and he had a pretty long streak of rejections, but he didn't stop trying. And finally, he did land a record deal with Arista Records, and then Here in the Real World followed, and it was an album that did extremely well, just because Blue Blooded Woman didn't reach the high spots on the charts, but, you know, the record as a whole did just fine. So after that, Jackson became a very recognized artist, which put him in a group with more singers who were marked for bringing a new brand of traditionalism into country music, and by them incorporating more of that sound and less of the pop country trend, that kind of simmered down a little bit, and it really did kind of end the trend in the 1980s. And as for his albums, he wrote most of his first albums. There was Don't Rock the Jukebox and then A Lot About Livin', and those records were huge hits. They produced several number one singles, and from those he had a song called Midnight in Montgomery, and that was a tribute to the legendary country singer from Montgomery, Alabama, which was Hank Williams. And then his album called Who I Am, that's the one that put Alan Jackson's record sales like way up there, and they ended up reaching a total of over 10 million. So he had, and he's still having, a really great music career, and because of that, he has earned so many awards, and here they are. Jackson was honored with like 45 awards from organizations. There was the Academy of Country Music and the Country Music Association, and he is also another artist who won Entertainer of the Year and his greatest hits album. He also received awards for it. And this is awesome, this fact here. Alan Jackson has gotten 5 CMA awards in one night, so he tied that record of 5 wins with Johnny Cash. And I feel like the fact of tying with Cash is just so much more impressive than even winning the 5 awards. Like, I don't know, I'd be stoked, I'd forget about the awards completely. It would just, whew, right over my head. I'd be like, what awards, what are you talking about? Like, I would be thinking like, oh my god, I tied with Johnny Cash. You guys, guess what happened? Hey, I tied with Johnny Cash. Hey, everybody, guess what? I tied with Johnny Cash's record. Like, I wouldn't even remember about the CMAs. I'd be like, what? I'm just talking about Johnny Cash and his record. So he had a lot of accomplishments, and I think that is the perfect time to finish talking about Alan Jackson, because I want to save him up because I love him so much. So now let's take a quick break, and then we will be right back to good old days. So don't go anywhere.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started.
And now for some stupid criminals. 24-year-old John Warren Fletz and a buddy were charged with robbing 5 sunbathers in Dania Beach, Florida at gunpoint in October. Police quickly picked the two up after a report of 2 men walking around, one with a misunderstood tattoo in large letters across his forehead. 27-year-old Brandon Aaron was charged with statutory rape of a 15-year-old girl in Panama, Oklahoma, in October. Initially, he denied having sex with her, but changed his story when the girl remembered that her attacker had the name of an ex-girlfriend tattooed on his penis, and Brandon did. Ramon Herrera of Albuquerque, New Mexico, thought he committed the perfect crime. Herrera broke into a house while the owners were out of town and took $250,000 worth of jewelry. Herrera would have been a rich man had he not forgotten to flush. Apparently, the 33-year-old relieved himself in the house bathroom and also drank a Coke from the fridge and left the can. Investigators say the DNA from the can and toilet matched Herrera, and he was booked into Bernalillo County Jail. Police came face-to-face with a wild boar after a burglar alarm sent them racing to a German hardware store early Wednesday. The animal apparently ran at full speed against the entrance door of the large do-it-yourself shop and broke through two glass doors, which triggered the alarm. After the manager opened the outlet's front doors, the animal escaped without taking anything and apparently unharmed. The owners of the store in Duhlenberg, Germany, estimated the damage at nearly $6,500. When a 10-year-old goldfish named George developed a tumor, its owners didn't just flush it down the toilet. George's owners decided to put him under the knife. The goldfish underwent surgery last week to remove a tumor protruding from the fish's head. The surgery was conducted by Dr. Tristan Rich, head of the Exotic and Wildlife Veterinary Team at Lort Smith Animal Hospital in Australia. To prepare for the surgery, Rich had George swim around in a bucket of water laced with anesthetic to knock him out. Rich removed the tumor and sealed the wound with 4 stitches. At the end of the surgery, George was given painkillers and put into a recovery unit, basically a bucket of regular water, where he started swimming soon afterwards. A spokesperson from Lawrence Smith said the surgery costs about $300, and despite how unusual it seems, it's not the first of its kind.
I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
And now we are back, and we have another Southern rock band for the day. I've mentioned this group very briefly before when we were talking about Lynyrd Skynyrd, but now we will be hearing a lot more about them, so I'm just going to go right on ahead and play a song of theirs. Here's Wild-Eyed Southern Boys by 38 Special.
It's a hot night
Alrighty, so once again, that was Wild-Eyed Southern Boys by 38 Special. And this band started out in the 1970s, around 74, I think, and it was formed by neighborhood friends Don Barnes and Donnie Van Zant, who I'm sure you remember him. He was Ronnie and Johnny's brother, and like his siblings' band, 38 Special was also from Jacksonville, Florida. That's where they really formed. And since then, Donnie Van Zant has retired from the group, but Don Barnes is still playing for 38 Special. He's still a very, very active member. So now the band's current lineup is Barnes, Danny Chauncey, Bobby Capps, Gary Moffat, and Barry Dunaway. And now it's mini biography time. So here we go. We'll start with founding member Don Barnes. He is... this guy's like multi-talented. This man could be a one-man show if he wanted to be. He can sing, he can write his songs. This dude is a crazy good performer and guitarist as well. And he's just an incredible instrumentalist and a producer, and, you know, just to complete that crazy list of talents. And he has really worked hard in order to achieve all of those things. So he's definitely, at least to me, he's definitely a role model and someone to kind of look up to, because he has had tons of persistence and just determination and so much self-discipline, and he's just given so much hard work and sweat into this career. So he really is, I consider him to be like just a self-made man. And since he started so young, and he's considered to be a music veteran, but Don Barnes is actually just one of those artists that continues to improve as time goes on. So he doesn't really stay at a level. Like, it's not like he's kind of reached a certain, I'm going to just use the same word because I can't think of a synonym. It's not like he reaches a level and then he's like, okay, I'll just stay here for the rest of the career. I feel like he's always trying to just get better and better, and there's always room for improvement in his case. Or not, oh, that sounded horrible, but you know what I mean? Like, for to him, there's always something to improve on. I didn't mean that, like, if you hear him, you can see that there's room for improvement. Never mind. Anyway, so last week we talked about Molly Hatchet, and that group has so many members that have been playing for so long, and they're still super into the band and so passionate for what they do and what they give their fans. And to me, Don Barnes has that in common with those guys, just because he has had that same passion and the skills and the confidence to keep 38 Special really going and keeping their music very relevant to what's going on in the industry, you know, during the different times. And his vocals are just so soulful, and his songwriting abilities are amazing, and the way he can play guitar, and he just makes so many performers look kind of bad, and he always appreciates his music and his large fan base. Okay, I'm going to stop idolizing him right now because I feel like I'm just going to go on and on about Don Barnes. So let's just start talking about Danny Chauncey, or else I'm not going to shut up. So this guy, Mr. Chauncey, since 1987, he has had his own signature sound and style that has contributed a lot to 38 Special. And he is just an excellent guitar player, but he is also recognized as a producer and songwriter. And he gets a lot of respect for that. And back to his instrument, he really relates to the younger crowd and kind of serves as an inspiration to upcoming guitarists. And then we have Bobby Capps, who is known for going crazy on the keyboards, and he is actually from Arkansas, but he played all around Florida in like local clubs and locations and stuff. So eventually he ran into the opportunity with 38 Special. This was in 1991, and he has really helped the group with keeping their Southern roots and, you know, in their music and just kind of having them incorporate it and never really losing it. And usually this guy stays on the backup vocals, but he sometimes steps up as the lead singer. Like in their song called Second Chance, he actually got the chance to show off some really good singing skills in that tune. And I think it sounded really fantastic. And with the success from 38 Special, Bobby Capps and Three Doors Down member Chris Henderson teamed up and opened a studio together. It's called Rivergate Studios, and it's located in Hendersonville in Tennessee. And, you know, they wanted to just reach out to fellow writers and musicians and producers. So, yeah, pretty cool. And next up, this is so random. I feel like I have no transitions at all. I feel like this is when I first started to write essays, and they would always tell me, like, whenever you end a paragraph, make sure you have a transition to the next one. And I don't have, like, any whatsoever when I talk, because I feel like right now I'm like, okay, blah, 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 and here's, you know, here's Greg Mo, or we're going to be talking about Gary Moffat, and then there's Bobby Capps and blah, 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 and all those people. So bear with me with my really, really bad transitions. Anyways, here is Moffat. He is a monster on the drums, and you don't see this too often, mainly because most performers can't always get away with this. I'm sure if you can't even do it, but Moffat can go on with such a long solo, and we're talking like super extended drum solo. Like, he can entertain the fans and hold the attention of the audience, which I feel like is kind of hard to do if you just start jamming out. People might be like, all right, man, like, time to shut up and move along, but he still gets their attention going. And he's a huge part in 38 Special because he is, I mean, this goes really with any drum player, but he does create the beats and he keeps the group's songs in rhythm by pounding the drums. And I mean, if you see him, you can see just how much of a talented percussionist he is. He just looks like it. Like, if I saw him walking down the street, I'd be like, drummer, he's a really, really, really good drummer. Well, of course, I'd be like 38 Special, but if I didn't know he played the drums, then I would still assume it. And even though I've heard this actually from other people, because I haven't met him, I haven't had that honor because my life isn't that great, but he actually, well, it's said that he comes off as kind of intimidating and a little bit like nerve-wracking because he has such a big stage presence. So I think people figure that really is how he is like every day. But Moffat really is very friendly and modest, and he loves his fans, and he's very nice. Again, this is just what I hear because I haven't had the opportunity. So besides being a part of 38 Special, he also participates in instructional videos for drum school, and he demonstrates a lot of like drum patterns with hand and foot combinations, and it's really geared towards drummers just in general, any level pretty much. You know, you don't have to specifically be like a master like he is. And it's also very cool because he shows his own techniques and just the way that he performs with all of his skills on the drum set. So if you're learning how to play the drums, definitely check it out. And no need to thank me, but you're welcome. And last but not least, there's Barry Dunaway. So he's the newest addition to 38 Special, and he's very well known for being a singer, a songwriter, and a versatile bassist. And he always kind of displays his talents and all of the experience that he has had. So he might be very recent to 38 Special, but he actually worked with some heavy metal before 38 Special, so he was involved in music. He worked with, Lord help me on this pronunciation, Yngwie Malmsteen. I think it's Swedish or something, but he performed on those albums for him for quite a while, like late 1980s and then into the 90s. So he was on like 9 albums, something impressive like that. And Barry also toured with him, you know, world tours, and he had a really strong voice, and he's been recognized actually in the voices of classic rock and also rock and pop masters with a lot of other collaborations. So through his musical journey, he's developed some relationships with several really talented artists like him, and that kind of led him into joining the members of the American Airlines All-Star Band. And that group actually benefits, this is really, really awesome, they benefit Susan B. Komen for The Cure and the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And when he's not touring or on the road with shows, he works on more future projects in St. Augustine, Florida, and that's where his home studio is. And that pretty much sums up Barry Dunaway. He's been playing professionally for a very long time, even though he is the newest addition to 38 Special. And he's done all that while he, you know, keeps performing and touring and recording with the band and, you know, with other amazing musicians. And that is 38 Special for today. That's going to be my summary. I'm going to cut it right there. So it's time for our modern segment. And before we hear our last song of the day, I actually wanted to talk about the CMAs. That's the Country Music Awards. And that took place just last week on Wednesday. And I didn't watch the whole thing, I'll be honest. I just kept checking in for like short periods randomly because I think it might be kind of clear by now, but I'll say why anyway. You guys probably already know that I love the older country music way, like way much more than the new stuff that comes out. So, you know, I mean, it's so much that I still have tons of traditional country tunes that I have to choose from that I'm actually like, oh my God, I wish I had more shows to be able to play you guys all of these songs, you know, for the remaining shows. But then I'm actually running out of new country songs, and that's why I'm throwing in some blues and like bluegrass. It's to spread out the mainstream country songs that I actually listen to, because I'm not even kidding you. I have like maybe 8 or 9. 10 is pushing it when it comes to how many country songs I have. And out of those, I barely listen to any of them. So it's kind of like, eh. So now you know, I'm struggling here a little bit with the modern country. And there was really no excitement for the CMAs on my part. I mean, if it was back in the 1900s, like 20, 30 years ago, then I'd be pumped for the Country Music Awards. But even though that's the case, I still like to check in just to see, you know, who won and what's going on. And these guys are all some of the most popular celebrities in current country music, so I don't really think I need to, you know, talk about them at all. They need no introduction. So starting with Luke Bryan, he took home the award for Entertainer of the Year. Nothing compared to George Strait, in my opinion, but still a huge accomplishment for Mr. Bryan. And then we have a famous country couple. We have Blake Shelton and his wife, Miranda Lambert, and they both won, which is super cute, I think, how it turned out, because Shelton won for Male Vocalist of the Year, and then Miranda received the Female Vocalist of the Year, and she also actually won the awards for Single and Album of the Year. And then I know Little Big Town won the Vocal Group of the Year. I just recently got their name right, by the way. I always thought it was Big Little Town. I'd be like, oh yeah, Big Little Town, Big Little Town. And then I figured it out, and now I say it correctly. And truth be told, I have never heard a song by them. However, I haven't heard a song by them, but I have heard them singing on that show, I'm drawing a blank, The Voice. And I'll watch that show like very seldom. It's super rare that I'll watch that show, but I always watch the very first few episodes, and then the longer it goes on and the more serious it gets, I just tend to lose interest, which usually is the other way around. But anyways, they help Blake Shelton coach his singers, so that's how I, you know them. And the other, well, actually the only other award I saw was for the Vocal Duo of the Year, and Florida Georgia Line won that one. And I don't know. I have one song by these guys. It's Cruise. So it's quite possible that I just haven't heard enough of them, and that's why I might be wrong. So don't get mad when I say my opinion on this. But I do understand that this band is a pair. The members are Brian Kelly from Florida and Tyler Hubbard from Georgia. But I just feel like, in the few songs and music videos that I've heard and seen from them, I feel like Brian Kelly barely sings compared to Hubbard. It's like he'll say a few lines here and there and then join in with Tyler for the choruses. But other than that, I feel like he's just strumming his guitar. So technically, they are a duo, but sometimes it's more of like a quarter, three-fourths type of deal going on. But again, that's just me, and I don't even listen to these guys, so I could just be way off track. And then, also back to the CMA Awards, another event that I witnessed shortly, because I didn't really care like at all for it. Once I realized which performance it was, I was like, yep, I'm taking a break right now from the TV. I'm just going to come back in 5 minutes when it's over. And that act was All About That Bass, performed by Miranda Lambert. And the actual artist, I had to look up her name because I had no idea who she is. Her name is Megan Trainor. So it's cool because Lambert is, you know, a country music star. But I did not understand why it was a song that was performed at the Country Music Awards. Like, I couldn't get it. I don't know why. I don't like the song because it kind of gives me a headache, and I just feel like it's so, so overplayed. But I will say that the message and, you know, some of the lyrics, of course, they have a good meaning behind them. I just don't get why the song had to be kind of annoying. But regardless of whether I like it or not, it's definitely not a country song. Like, you can't argue with me on that. And nothing in it even relates to the style of that genre. And that's why I was so confused, because the CMAs had like a pop song in the middle of the show. And I was like, wait, this isn't, you can't do this. Like, we're not here to watch this. But, you know, besides that, it was a really great performance from both of those singers. Just not my thing. So this year's CMAs, I mean, I kind of knew what was going on slightly because, and I'm being dead serious, in my iTunes, I have one Blake Shelton song, one Miranda Lambert song. The Blake Shelton song I have is Boys Round Here. And then my Miranda Lambert song is Kerosene. And then my Luke Bryan song is Chugging Along. I have like one of each, seriously. And then that one Florida Georgia Line song. And I have none from Little Big Town, at least not yet. So yeah, I pretty much don't listen to any of the artists who won a 2014 CMA award, but still, they are excellent artists, and congratulations to all of them. And now I'll be playing our modern song and artist for this show. His name is Jamie Johnson, and he's a mainstream country artist, definitely, but he's recent to me, really recent to me. I actually haven't been listening to him for too long. I heard one of his songs, and then I didn't really care for it too much, and I don't even know which song it was when I think about it. I just know I didn't like it. But then I heard him again, like maybe 6 months ago, and the song that I had heard at that time that he had played was really pretty, and I just really liked it. So I'm going to go ahead and play that one for you, because again, this is the only song I have by Jamie Johnson. So here is Jamie Johnson with his tune In Color.
I said, Grandpa, what's this picture here? It's all black and white, and it ain't real clear. Is that you there? He said, yeah, I was 11. And times were tough back in 35. That's me and Uncle Joe just trying to survive a cotton farm and a Great Depression. If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color. Oh, and this one here was taken overseas in the middle of hell in 1943 in the wintertime. Almost see my breath. That was my tail gunner, old Johnny McGee. He was a high school teacher from New Orleans, and he had my back right through the day we left. If it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color. A picture's worth a thousand words, but you can't see what those shades of gray keep covered. You should have seen it in color. This one is my favorite one. This is me and Grandma in the summer sun, all dressed up the day we said our vows. You can't tell here, but it was hot that June. That rose was red and her eyes were blue. And just look at that smile, I was so proud. That's the story of my life, right there in black and white. And if it looks like we were scared to death, like a couple of kids just trying to save each other, you should have seen it in color. You should have seen it in color.
I love that song. So you guys just heard In Color by Jamie Johnson. And he co-wrote this song, and it was released with his second album, which was That Lonesome Song. And that was his first top 10 country hit. And it also won awards for Song of the Year in 2008's ACM Awards, and then again in the 2009 CMA Awards. So very, very successful. It also was certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. And this song is more, I think, of an acoustic ballad, if anything, that really, the whole idea of it is it describes an old man, and it's connecting with him showing these black and white photographs to his grandson. And each picture that he shows him is from a different part in his life. So there's like the photos from World War II where he fought, and, you know, the grandfather looks back on those times, and then they're talking about the wedding and the cotton farm in the Great Depression. And so he's really just kind of like reminiscing on his life and his story. And he tells the boy that you should have seen it in color. And I just think it's such a beautiful, I don't know, I like it. Something like this, I feel like everyone can kind of connect back to it just because we all have certain memories, and it's pretty self-explanatory. It's a simple but really beautiful message, and it's just saying like you should have been there to see it with your own two eyes to really experience it. And it's just goes back to this whole thing about like how each kind of decade, each generation is going to have these different memories that we'll never be able to really go back and actually experience. And that's why we have these pictures, and that's why we should listen and take it all in, just so we can remember at least what happened way back then. And I feel like for the most part, I mean, we all have done that. I know I always look back on my mom and dad's like old black and white photographs, and it's just a good feeling to see how they were when they were young. It's a very, I don't know how to, it's like not bittersweet. I'm also, this is like the freaking fifth blank I've drawn today. I don't know. It's just a sweet feeling, you know, because it's good to see how their lives have changed, and, you know, how they were kind of like looking, I guess, back then, and what they remembered, and how they were just living their lives at that time. And this song wasn't actually meant for Jamie Johnson at first. Actually, it was Trace Adkins, who was the artist that was lined up to sing In Color, but then Johnson asked for his permission to record the song himself, so Adkins let him have it. And I honestly think, like, Jamie Johnson, Trace Adkins, whatever, it would have been a fantastic song, because I think both of the men have really, really great, you know, voices, especially for a song like this. So now for the music video, which matches the song so perfectly. It's a very simple concept. Jamie Johnson is sitting on a stool with his guitar, and he's surrounded by all of these black and white pictures. It's super pretty looking, actually. Like, the imagery in this thing was spot on, even though it was such a simple kind of way to handle it. But it was like, oh my God, this is so complex and so beautiful, and there's so many other meanings. So the photos, which I think that he actually got from his grandmother, they're all spread like out on the floor around him. And it's a completely empty room except for Johnson just sitting there in the middle of all the pictures. And that's really the whole concept. And towards the end, slowly, like throughout the second half of the video, the black and white starts to get a bit of color, and it starts to fade. And then when the chorus near the end comes back around, then the pictures just start fading, and color kind of starts to spread until all the pictures are colored. And then Jamie Johnson, who was still in black and white, but like the color starts spreading up his legs and up and up, and pretty soon he's in color too. And it's such a cool effect. It made the video so heartwarming, I think, just like a simple change. And, you know, the cinematography is like, what? And actually, when I first saw the music video, I thought about the movie Pleasantville from like 16 years ago with Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon. And that's the actress, who was it? Oh, yeah. One of the best characters. It was the actress who played the mom from Malcolm in the Middle. And she was actually the first character from that film that I noticed. Not Elle Woods from Legally Blonde or Tobey Maguire from Spider-Man, but Lois from the epic Malcolm in the Middle. And if my mom gave birth, I'm not even kidding, if she gave birth to any more boys, that would be how my family would have been like, for sure, for sure. And I'm honestly surprised that I remembered this movie, because I saw it so long ago and I really don't remember why. I think the only thing that makes sense in my head is that I watched it like during school and class. It had to be that. I'm pretty sure I saw it in school, because probably English class, because that was like the only class that really made sense to be like, let's watch a movie and see how it connects to these messages and how the way they talk and whatever you do in English class. And Yeah, so I miss those days, actually, when you actually could watch a class, you know, or not watch a class, watch a movie in class, and the substitute or the teacher would just be like, I don't feel like teaching, so we're going to just watch a film. So that's probably how I saw it. And it wasn't a bad movie. I just really don't remember most of it. So I had to Google the plot, and it said that Pleasantville is about two 1990s teenagers who find themselves in a 1950s sitcom where their influence begins to profoundly change that complacent world. Thank you for that information, IMBD. That's what I remembered. I thought that the plot was more intense than that, but I guess not. So the movie, for a large amount, is all in black and white with like no color. And then as they start breaking down the barriers and shedding light onto the world, the color starts to come into the cinematography. So it's the same idea, like of getting rid of the color and then incorporating it back in. Like in the movie, I think there's a part where like the woman's putting on lipstick and it's like the first pop of red that you see and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So very nice. It's a really, really good touch, I think. So back to the musician of In Color. Jamie Johnson was born in Alabama. He was born in Enterprise, but then raised in Montgomery. And he was musically influenced at a young age. Alan Jackson actually was one of those influences, and he saw him in concert. A little connection to our fellow country, well, the one that I chose, our fellow country decision for today. So after graduating high school, he went to college, but he didn't end up graduating from there. He quit, and then he went into the United States Marine Corps Reserves and served there for 8 years. And during his service, he would play songs for his fellow Marines. So he never took a break from singing and playing. Like, it was always really a part of his life. And when he left the Marines, he started playing some country music in some local bars in Montgomery. And he actually landed an opening act for David Allan Coe. Not bad for a first gig. That's incredible. What an honor. I wouldn't be able to shut up about it. I'd be like, guess what my first gig was? David Allan Coe. And soon after that, Jamie Johnson headed to Tennessee. I bet you can't guess which city by now. I'm getting sick of this city. Nashville, of course, Nashville. And he went there in hopes of taking his career to the next level. And following that move, he began making plenty of connections to other artists and musicians. And he also had some friendships with, you know, producers and songwriters, and that really did help him land a songwriting contract on top of that. And that's all I know so far about Jamie Johnson, because seriously, In Color is the only song I like by him right now. But then again, to be fair, I haven't listened to any more of his songs, because you know I'm more into this old stuff, but who knows, maybe I'll like another one. So that is Jamie Johnson. Definitely check out In Color, or any other song by him if you like more of the mainstream country music. And that is our show for today. I'm so stoked that I actually got through that without having to take a nap. And I went like into Energizer Bunny mode, so that kind of worked. It didn't sound so great, so I'm so sorry. I kept like messing everything up, and I was like, I can't even open my eyes at this point. I'm like squinting and everything. So come back next Monday morning at 8 for Good Old Days with me. I'm your host, Jax. And let's hope that next week I'll have hibernated enough to be super refreshed and awake. So make sure to stop by for the 10th show here on radio.dominican.edu. Alrighty, let's get back to some music.